Time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Well, even though conventional wisdom has been telling us for the longest time that Republicans will probably lose the House in the midterms this summer, a new wrinkle has developed that could give us many new GOP seats. Yes, I'm talking about redistricting. The Democrats have been doing it for years, drawing district maps along racial lines, assuming that black people will vote Democrat. Now, that's a bigoted assumption, I should say, the idea that they know how somebody's going to vote based on skin color. It is true, many African Americans have traditionally voted Democrat. Hard to imagine why, since they're the party of the Ku Klux Klan, the party of segregation, the party of Jim Crow laws, but they managed to sell the Republicans as the racist people. That's a lie, but it is true that a lot of African Americans have been believing it, but that's starting to change. Nevertheless, regardless of how you may feel about redistricting, and certainly each party does it to their advantage, the United States Supreme Court recently ruled 6-3 that this cannot be done along racial lines. This ruling immediately freed up red states all over the country to redraw maps put in place previously by Democrat pressure. I'm referring to pressure from the past. That was based on a misinterpretation of the Voting Rights Act. Now, the Voting Rights Act is a very good law. It forced states coming out of the Jim Crow South to allow African Americans to vote. So it is a good law, but my friends, the law got twisted into an idea that districts could be drawn according to race, the exact opposite of what the Voting Rights Act had been all about. So the Supreme Court did not do away with the Voting Rights Act. They insisted it be properly applied. In other words, in the name of stopping racism, racist maps had been drawn. So red states are taking this opportunity to fix things. But what about purple states like Virginia? They just voted on a new map that would squeeze out GOP candidates by a factor of 10 to 1. In their case, their own Supreme Court, the Virginia Supreme Court, ruled against this vote because it was not done in accordance with the Virginia Constitution. Well, the Democratic Congress of Virginia threw an absolute hissy fit. I mean, they literally came unglued at the seams. And they vowed to do something unprecedented. Now, before I go on, before I'll tell you what they wanted to do, they have since backed off. It's a plan that was not going very well. It's not going to happen, at least not for now. But I do want you to know what they were seriously considering. They were going to pass a law that would have fired every member of their current Supreme Court. And how could such a monstrous decision be carried out? By simply lowering the mandatory retirement age from 73 to 54. That would have immediately disqualified all seven current justices, including the Chief Justice Cleo E. Powell, who happens to be the first African-American woman to serve as Chief Justice on the Virginia Supreme Court. Wow. And they were going to do that in the name of fighting against racism. You can't make this stuff up. You couldn't sell that one to the Babylon Bee. Democrats always choose the strangest fights. Iran having a nuclear weapon doesn't concern them. Illegal immigration doesn't concern them. People getting raped and murdered and thrown in front of subway cars by those who don't even belong in our country doesn't concern them. Imaginary racism? That concerns them. ICE concerns them. And not just the law enforcing ICE, but the ICE of imaginary apocalyptic weather. Yes, that kind of ICE. Al Gore is at it again. Now he's claiming that an ice age can happen in 25 years. We now need to be concerned about an ice age. We now need to be concerned about an ice age. Well, why not? His other predictions didn't turn out too well, and they were predicting the opposite. Global warming. Now it's global cooling. In his documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, which came out in 2006, Gore offered all kinds of doomsday prophecies which never saw the light of day. The Arctic Ocean could lose all its summer ice by 2013. Mount Kilimanjaro could lose its snow by 2015. Global sea levels could rise as much as 20 feet in the near future. Yes, he said that in 2006, and he was talking about the near future. And for effect, he showed pictures of New York City and Miami underwater. Now, to be fair, something global did happen. Al Gore was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. So I guess he can live with it. Of course, Gore isn't the only one making weather predictions. AOC, otherwise known as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, made predictions of her own. In January 2019, she warned that the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. Wow. We only have a few more years to go, and as much as it's now 2026, AOC doesn't seem too worried. In fact, she's expecting to be around a long time. She has big plans. When recently asked if these plans included running for president, she said, well, that isn't enough for her. Her vision goes beyond one country. She wants to see free healthcare for the entire world. At least that's her current stated answer about the presidency. Or maybe she just realizes that she has no chance after that abysmal answer to a simple question in Germany about Taiwan. She realizes after that that Vance or Rubio would massacre her in a presidential debate. Of course, that much self-reflection would indicate more brains than she seems to have. The woman didn't exactly throw off the grading curve in school. Only recently, she said in an interview that nobody can become a billionaire, honestly. Nobody! To become a billionaire, you must have gamed the system somehow, or underpaid employees, or something even more nefarious. Would she say that to Oprah? Oprah's a billionaire, but AOC's most brilliant defense for socialism is her interpretation of American history.
The American Revolution was against the billionaires of their time. And we are declaring independence from such an extreme marriage of wealth and power and the state that the voices of everyday people did not exist.
The only relationship AOC has with our forefathers is that they are turning in their graves knowing our country was stupid enough to elect this person to Congress. Many of our forefathers were wealthy property owners coming from families which colonized this country in order to get their own land. The whole purpose of the Revolutionary War was a revolt against the high taxes of King George, the Stamp Act, and things like that. This from the people who protest on No King's Day. They forget what it was like to have a real king. But they'll remember, if we ever become a socialist country. They say you can vote your country into socialism, but you can't vote your country out of socialism. Because in socialism, you lose all freedom. I mean pure socialism, not countries in Europe that have a little of it sprinkled in. In pure socialism, the wealth is not shared by all. That's just bumpkin for the masses to bring about the change. When it actually happens, the middle class evaporates. There's a new caste system of the very rich and the very poor, dependent on the government, and the government is a dictatorship. Just ask anyone who came to our country from Cuba or Venezuela. Don't ask college students who are offered free stuff. And don't ask twits who want to rise to something even higher than the presidency. Just ask anybody who's studied the facts and patterns of history and see if they don't make the obvious obvious.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life, but Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170, 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, hello, Bob. How are we doing this afternoon?
Doing okay.
Man, just remind me to never take 2 weeks off ever again, because my goodness.
Brendan, you can't take 2 days off without the world becoming more apocalyptic in your absence.
Honestly, what is going on with today's world and news? I have so much to update everybody on, so please strap yourselves in, because we got a lot to get through for sure. So one of the first things I wanted to get to was specifically the LA mayor race. It's been quite interesting. We have had a huge update to it. So one of the things I did want to focus in on specifically was some of the debate that happened. Did you happen to watch or catch any
highlights?
I've
seen the clips and highlights of these debates. I haven't watched a whole debate.
I gotcha. Okay, so let me play a few other clips from this debate, because like I said, this is seriously...
I know that in what I saw, this new guy from the reality show is just massacring.
Yeah, he is, but at the same time,
the mayor of Los Angeles canceled the next debate.
Yeah, I did see that news, and she said it was due to health reasons, but let's be honest.
I'm the king of all England.
And it's really campaign health reasons. It's on life support right now for her. But nevertheless, I have some few highlights I do want to show. One of the highlights I want to point out, they had a simple question. Should there be encampments in front of schools and daycare providers? And here's what everyone had to say.
Next question. Do you support the ordinance that restricts encampments in front of schools or daycare centers? Mayor Bass, I'm going to start with you. Yes or no? Ms. Rahman, yes or no?
I support keeping our streets safe. I did vote against the structure of this particular ordinance. And it is because at its best,
it's a yes
it,
or no.
It does not, the way this ordinance was structured,
it does not keep our children safe.
No, I...
What I was saying is she's fighting because she doesn't think there's a difference between 1 foot or 500 feet for kids' safety with drug addicts with machetes in front of schools.
That, yes or no?
Of course, we do not want encampments in front of schools, parks, daycare.
I mean, that would just go along without saying, I feel like we should.
These mealy-mouthed politicals. Well, I've always been against it, but on the other hand, I categorically, and yet we've got to remember, it's just answer the freaking question.
Yeah. For those who don't know, that was Council Member Nathia Rahman, who's in third place right now in this whole running.
So it's probably going to come down to Bass and this new guy.
The Pratt guy, yeah. Pratt. And let me tell you, first off, I personally don't like Pratt on a personal level.
You didn't like him in the reality show,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
I never watched his reality show? What was the main idea?
It was about a bunch of rich blonde girls from Laguna Beach that were like dealing with personal first world struggles that have nothing to do with anybody else. But yet, it was one of the most popular shows on MTV for some reason.
And he was the host of it?
He was just a boyfriend of the main characters.
Oh, okay.
And he was treating her such like a horrible, horrible person. And my goodness.
But how much of that was the way he was really treating her, and how much of it was just staged? Maybe.
I know. It's hard.
I shouldn't talk too much about stage, since we have idiots saying all these assassination attempts were staged. But there are some things that are really staged.
And again, I really shouldn't be drawing the line at reality TV star, honestly.
But you've got to like him more than Bass and that other twit.
Oh, of course. Of course. Now, here's the thing again. Like I said, today's political world goes to show you that you don't have to have a background in politics to speak your voice.
Donald Trump proved that. This guy's another Trump. He's a reality star who's...
You can go back to the 80s with Ronald Reagan.
I'm starting to think he's going to win this thing. There are Democrats moving over to us. I know he didn't do good in the early polls, but I think after that debate, that's starting to change.
I'm starting to think that too. And again, there's been a recent poll about it, but I'll go over that here.
Although
very
I'm sure the powers that be in California are going to figure out a way to cheat in both that election
and the governor election.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when I say I think they have a chance, I mean, I think they would have a chance if it was fair.
Right.
But I don't believe for a second that it will be fair, unless, as the old saying goes, we make it too big to rig.
Now, again, one of the other things I did want to mention was, again, you were saying Trump was a big example of not having a political background. You can even go Ronald Reagan. He was an actor at first. All of a sudden, he jumps into the political realm.
But he was a governor before he became president.
No, but I'm talking about when he was running for
governor.
When
he was running for governor, his
background
was acting.
He just had a background in acting. That's it. Not a political background, for that matter. So, and he turned out to be a huge, huge American success in his own right. So, second clip I want to play for you, again, comes from Nathaya Raman, saying specifically, she was trying to get this kind of conspiracy theory out that Bass and Pratt were actually working together in this election. I got to play this clip. This is hilarious.
I want to just say to everybody who's watching today, you're going to watch today as Mayor Bass and Spencer Pratt attack me because they want to run against each other in the general election. Each of them thinks that running against each other is what's going to help them win. And they don't want to run against me because my ideas, which are based on real results in my district, which are based on real data.
First off, Mayor Bass and I are definitely not working together. I blame this person for burning my house and my parents' house and my town and all my neighbors down. I am not working with Mayor Bass. Second off, if I wanted to run against anybody, it would be the council member who is terrible. Mayor Bass has at least been a mayor for almost 4 years and has, as she talked about earlier, the unions, all the unions endorsed Mayor Bass. You think it's easier to run against the incumbent mayor with all the unions or a random city council member who's been a failure for 6 years? I would much rather run against Councilwoman Raman. Thank you very much.
Man, oh man.
Shall I run against Tweedledee or Tweedledum?
Well, but at least he put respect on Bass's name. Hey, at least she was mayor, so she has the experience.
Yeah, except that being the mayor is the problem,
that
exactly.
Is, yeah. Now, last clip I have for you, it's actually a very extended clip because I had to combine these two. Bass says some outright lies when it comes to the fire, and guess who also got on top of it, too, was CBS News, pointing out every single point Bass said was actually completely wrong. CBS News,
boy,
of
when
all
even
people,
CBS News is going after the Democrats. They're in trouble.
Yeah, so the first half of the clip you're going to hear is Bass's portrayal of the Palisade fires when Spencer is going to tell the actual facts in the second half of this clip. So take a listen.
He's saying several things that are completely inaccurate. First of all, there was one reservoir that was out of commission. He is correct. A million years ago, it was for wildfires, but over the last 30, 40 years, it's been for drinking water. He talked about the winds. That is just completely inaccurate. If that were accurate, then the planes would have been able to fly. And so the winds reached close to 100 miles an hour, and the planes were unable to fly. So if there were reservoirs, if that reservoir had been open, it would not have worked. We had two other reservoirs totaling $8 billion gallons that were available.
Thank you.
Could not fly.
Yes, she mentioned me. So she's an incredible liar. Everyone on their phones, Google it. To the Mayor Karen Bass's 1,000 firefighters that were available, but there was no engines for them because of the $17 million that Chief Crowley had asked the mayor for 9 weeks before, and Mayor Karen Bass denied it. So they may have been available, but they didn't have the equipment they needed. Not to mention, Janice Quinones, who Mayor Karen Bass put into her position of power at the LADWP. She drained both of these reservoirs that these firefighters needed to put out these fires. A lot of people will talk about climate change and hurricane force winds. The winds in the Pacific Palisades never reached higher than 40 miles per hour. For those first 6 hours, they didn't go above 27 miles per hour. So without those two reservoirs filled with 117 million gallons and 5 million gallons, these firefighters had to fly all the way to Malibu and Encino to get water. So that to me is the most dangerous thing that the mayor put us up against. As mayor, I will never drain the reservoirs that we need for wildfire protection. There's this conspiracy now that they're empty, that they were for drinking water. But if you research it, they were actually made for wildfire protection. As mayor, I'm going to add 20 dip sites all around the communities connecting to pools. So God forbid the water system goes down again. These dip sites that will be connected to individuals' pools will fill up for the helicopters to have water.
Say what you will about Spencer Pratt, but you know what? The man speaks truth.
He's got to be growing on you, Brendan.
He is. You know what?
Well, and this idea about the drinking water, the fire hydrants that didn't work were connected to something.
Yep.
They weren't connected to drinking water. They were connected to reservoirs that were supposed to put out the fire.
Right. And not only that, once again, CBS News pointed out three things that were wrong in Karen Bass, even though it's a million other things that were wrong in her speech. But specifically, one was firefighting airplanes were in the air within 3 minutes of a call of the actual fire starting or the wildfire itself starting. So they were there completely right then and there. Number two, she wasn't there in the first place because where was she?
She was in Africa.
She was in Africa and Ghana. Like, and the last thing that was leaked about was Karen said later in the debate, like, all my staff members knew where I was during that moment. When in fact, a letter leaked out there that said she was going to be, quote, out of the state. That's not telling you where she is.
And even if all her staff members knew where she was, the point is she wasn't there. Did you see some of that footage when she got off the plane a year ago? She wouldn't answer a single question.
None.
By the way, correct me if this is mistaken. I seem to remember hearing that on the night this fire started, they got it under control, but they were recommending doing a more thorough job because there were still embers underneath the ground.
Yes, uh-huh.
And they were told not to do it.
Yes.
So, this was just and then, of course, they were DEI hires and charge of the fire department. That didn't help, but it could have been the best fire department in the world, and it still wouldn't have mattered because Bass was the mayor.
Not to mention, again, Pratt pointed out, there could have been extra funding going to specifically the firefighters to help with these situations from even occurring in the first place. But nope, she decided to put it to something else completely.
Well, we got to learn our pronouns and put it toward things like that.
All right, so with all that in mind, I do have some updates to this whole situation too. Now, Spencer Pratt is under fire right now because TMZ leaks some messages are out there. So specifically, one of his campaign ads says, I'm living in here.
Oh,
in a trailer.
I saw that where they were interviewing him. And
yeah.
They made it look like he was living in that camper. And they said, well, we heard you were living in a motel.
Yeah, in a Bel Air
but
hotel.
His rebuttal was great. He says, I'm not really living anywhere because they burnt my house
That's
down.
The main purpose of the whole thing is
exactly.
That is the messaging. And of course, who decides to stick their nose into this whole thing? AOC decides to. I don't know if you've seen this video.
No,
she
but
replied back
I
saying, hey, Spencer, if you want to be in this political world, you better start being as honest as possible, just a suggestion. Is what she said.
Oh, like when she says we need to outlaw meat and she's found with a hamburger at a restaurant the next day, that kind of honesty.
The nerve of this girl. I swear, AOC, the nerve of this person. I swear to you. Last thing I did want to mention too before I get into the actual poll numbers now. Council member Nathalia Rahman just announced this crazy, crazy idea. She says she's looking...
Oh, she wants to limit barbecues.
Yes! Okay. So that is... What are we doing? Like, that's going to cause the fires to even occur. Do you know what caused...
Barbecues caused the fire, global warming caused the fire. The incompetence of the mayor and the fire department, that couldn't have caused the fire, could it?
No, but firefighters did the investigation. They found out that a homeless person started a fire in a trash can, which then spread all over the Palisades.
Oh, you're not allowed to say anything against the homeless, Brendan.
Like, this is
not
so
allowed.
Ridiculous. I tell you.
You speak against the homeless, it means you don't have any compassion.
So there was a recent poll that was done 2 days ago from the Emerson College polls. That's the only polls I've been able to find, really. I can dig deeper, but this was just the latest ones I've happened to see in terms of the most updated version, I guess. Karen Bass currently has 35% in the lead right now, when a month ago she was at 20%, so she's grown 15% somehow. Spencer
She's actually gone up.
Yes, I'm surprised
by that. Is this a liberal skewed poll?
I'm assuming so, because this is Emerson College.
There's no way. I can understand maybe she's still in the lead, but I can't understand her having gone up. This was taken after that abysmal debate?
Right, and with all the lies that she was just spreading constantly? You're so angry, your headphones are falling off your
head. Plus, every time she opens her mouth, she makes a fool of herself.
It's true. Spencer Pratt is currently at 22% in second place. Ramen's at 19%. After that barbecue comment, I think it's going to go down further, probably. And then 16% of voters are still undecided, which 2 months ago, mind you, it was at 51%. So as the time is getting closer and closer, that percentage is dropping like substantially. So do I think the 16% will actually make the huge difference here? Absolutely it will. I mean, obviously that whole thing can actually change Spencer Pratt's whole categorical thing. And not to mention, like you mentioned last hour with Dave Stahl, the Republicans have a plan here. I think you're going to see some big changes in those poll numbers. Because right now,
unfortunately, the Democrats are going to have a plan to sabotage a fair election too.
I know that far for sure. But at least with the poll numbers, at least, I'm going to have to say, first, I was scared seeing these poll number results, like saying like, oh my gosh, that's a huge lead for all these Democratic candidates. And I'll get to the governorship here in just a second soon. But man, oh man, this has been really close. But I do have some thoughts that the Republicans will be doing something in the upcoming, either this month or next month, where the poll numbers will switch and all of a sudden the Republican candidates will actually be in the lead. But like you said, maintaining...
Well, the first thing is to get through the primary and see who the two people are even going to be.
It's true. And then on top of that, again, it's the fact that, are we even going to have a fair election to begin with too? That's another up in the air question, but we'll wait and see when November comes about. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and head to the governor race. Let's get some updates again from Emerson Poll. Javier Becerra, my least favorite candidate besides Katie Porter, has the lead currently at 19% of support, while Steve Hilton and Tom Steyer...
Didn't he poll a Katie Porter the other day by refusing to answer questions in an interview?
I believe so, recently, yeah.
He did it a little more nicely than she did, but it was the same thing, bottom line, he was declining to answer.
It's true. Steve Hilton and Tom Steyer are tied at 17%. Chad Bianco is in fourth place at 11%, which is 3% down from 2 months ago. Katie Porter's at 10%. Matt Mahan's at 9%. Antonio is at 4%. Tony Thurmond is at 1%. And we still have 12% that are undecided in the state of California. Just to let you know, too, over the last 2 months, Steyer is up 3% and Becerra's up 9%. Since those 2 months of the last poll done by the Emerson College. Now, the one thing I did want to mention about this governor race, too, is about Bianco. I don't know if you heard he was under fire last week or so doing another debate with some of the governor candidates. He was criticizing another person for taking oath and lying. And the person that he was talking to, I don't remember which candidate it was, skewed his word to be saying, "So are you saying you're an oath supporter?" And he goes, "Of course, I've taken the oath so many times." Now, I don't know if you've seen this too. Mainstream media, or specifically liberal media, were able to skew that and say, oh, oath supporter means that he was supporting the KKK because the KKK have an oath
support.
Oh,
for Pete's sake. Yeah. Every courtroom has an oath. Of course the KKK has an oath, but everybody takes an oath.
Exactly.
What a stretch.
And then he had to go on local.
But the problem is there are morons that'll listen to this stuff and gobble it up.
Yeah, and that's why the support numbers went down all of a sudden, I thought. I'm thinking that's where it has to come from, because otherwise I don't understand why it's still going downwards. It should be going upwards. Bianco's making great points during these debates, and he continues to have great support behind him too. I'm assuming the other thing too is that Trump endorsement really helped Hilton.
It made a difference. In fact, he just got rid of an incumbent senator in, I believe, mm-hmm. the state is Louisiana.
I think so.
One of the guys that voted to impeach him.
Mm-hmm.
So Trump's support means a lot.
So do you think Trump should go ahead and endorse Spencer Pratt? Because I know we talked about it last month about how Trump should just stop endorsing people, possibly, and just let his
endorsements haven't always gone the way we would hope, but it's starting to look like lately they're working more than they aren't.
Exactly.
So maybe it wouldn't hurt.
Okay.
I don't know if he even wants Trump's endorsement.
And to be fair, too, he's a non-incumbent, but we all know which kind of side he's following in the first place. So going back to Bianco, he had to go on to local news to help talk about, no, every time I'm a sheriff, I'm elected as a sheriff, I need to take
it. He didn't think he was going to get a fair shake on local. I mean, unless
seriously.
It's KUSI 9, the local news is as bad as the mainstream.
No, this
media.
One was up in L.A. because this is local Riverside area thing. But still, we all knew what he was talking about as an oath supporter. We can't be like...
No, and the guy was a real hero during COVID.
No question about it. All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I have some other news. Again, 2 weeks have been crazy, but we'll talk about that when we come back to the Bob Siegel Show.
Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring.
Houses burn down.
You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to talk about my latest book, The Many Myths About Ministry. As you know, I'm a Christian apologist, but let me tell you something. In my many years of interactions with skeptics, doubters, and even seekers, I have found that the vast majority of their problems with Christianity stem from previous church experiences. Yes, what's more, many of their concerns are valid and serve as inspiration for this book. While defending the truth of the Bible and the importance of the gospel message, I nevertheless take an honest look at the way Christians interact with each other. From the larger issues of putting our leaders on too high a pedestal, to the unfair judging of the way another person worships, to the unsolicited advice which claims to have been led by the Spirit of God. Of course, and I do believe the Spirit of God speaks, I do, but a lot of times Christians are putting words in his mouth. Who are we kidding? My friends, this simple, easy read will strike a chord of familiarity with anyone involved in church life. It's a call to lay aside the unimportant issues that distract us and return to the heart of Christian community.
The Many Myths About Ministry by Bob Siegel.
This is Bob Siegel. As a Christian apologist, I hear scorning and ridicule all the time from Bible skeptics and unbelievers. Some churches will still respond to such people with love and understanding. Others do not.
You Christians are such morons. There's no proof that God exists, and only a pea brain would believe in miracles. Wake up! Step into the 21st century. Besides, Christianity is responsible for most of the world's problems.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Relax, my friends. That's not the kind of response you'll get from Skyline Church. We welcome you just as you are, with all your doubts, all your questions, and all your concerns. Your problems with religion are understandable, and I promise at Skyline you'll experience the love of Jesus Christ, not the revenge of a Sith Lord.
Skyline Church.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, and say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
All right. Well, we have some news coming from our own radio station company, Salem Media. For those who don't know, Salem Media has been trying to find a buyer for at least 6 years now, and we have finally been acquired now.
I thought they were sold just recently to, didn't you say they were sold to the Trump family?
The news program side of it has been sold. 30% of that was sold
but
to the Trump
family.
But not
the KPRZ side
specifically
of it?
The religious side. That was not. Yeah. Okay. So in this case, we have a company called the Christian Community Foundation. They're also known as Waterstone. They're an equity firm. Originally, they were known as investors for us to help us get completely out of debt, which we were at that time. Fantastic. But now they have officially purchased us outright. Waterstone has said publicly that they want to focus more on a digital market, specifically our Salem News Channel and Salem Now. However, they do not have any plans on fixing or doing anything to our programming side of over the air or OTA stuff.
Is that just at the moment or is that permanent?
No, permanently. They're very happy with how the radio
Then Trump
family still owns the news site?
They still do.
So there's two owners now.
Exactly. Yes, that is correct.
As long as they don't interfere with the show.
Exactly. Yeah. But I don't know if you'll still hear Salem Media. Now you're going to hear Waterstone would like to present to you. But either way, no new changes otherwise. It sounds like this is actually a very, very good thing for us. Usually when it comes to these situations, there's going to be a lot of layoffs or some other big changes within the company. But Salem Media CEO did mention during a public letter to the public saying that there's no changes at all. They believe in our mission and we want to continue that mission. So that's fantastic. Otherwise, the FTC will not be approving this whole deal until August, since there's a lot of investigation that goes on to it and big money purchases. The FTC has to approve of it. So they will approve of it. Hopefully by August is the earliest time for that time. But otherwise, everything's looking pretty, pretty good for Salem here today. Other news, Ted Turner passed away last week. He was 87 years old.
I heard that. He was the creator of CNN. Now, I should say CNN was a good network when he created it.
What an invention. 24-hour news network. Yeah, no one has ever done that.
I mean,
and
we wouldn't have Fox if we hadn't had CNN as the prototype. But, of course, it took a deep dive, but
of course,
let's be fair about what it once was.
Exactly. And not to mention, he had some other revolutionary ideas as a media thing.
Yeah, like marrying Jane Fonda.
yes, that too. I'm talking like, you know, making a 24-hour cartoon channel. He also owned a wrestling company, and every time
Well, and Turner Classic Movies.
Yes, and that's commercial-free, mind you, still. That's insane to have a commercial-free channel like that and still be a celebrated channel by many, many people. It's fantastic. But yeah, going back to the wrestling company, people would not want to advertise with a wrestling company, and yet he kept it on because he was such a big fan of wrestling. So he used to own WCW until finally when he gave up the reins back in like 2001, they finally quickly sold it to Vince McMahon, and then thus WWE was this big conglomerate of a wrestling company that lasted for years and years and years on end. But again, such a media mongrel guy that it was just such a huge, huge proponent in media and made his history. Not to mention a great restaurant out in Bozeman, Montana, I will say. He has a restaurant out there called Ted's. Very, very delicious restaurant that I would highly suggest everyone goes to. So our prayers go out to Ted Turner for sure. One last story, and then we'll get to the big, big story coming up in the last segment where, guess what? Donald Trump in the news. I know, shocking everybody.
No.
But on May 5th, while I was gone, there was an assassination attempt on our vice president of
all
people.
And it got very little play. I heard about it on the White House grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying they connected it to Vance. The reports I heard didn't even mention that. I can't believe it got such little play.
Yeah, the reports I read was that the guy was actually firing towards J.D. Vance's family.
This should have been huge. Now, again, I'm not saying we didn't hear about it, but why didn't we hear a lot more about it?
My two guesses are this. One is that this is the vice president. So he doesn't get that much media attention compared to the president.
I still think that's huge news.
I think so too.
Trying to assassinate the vice president.
Yeah, and number two is the fact that the perpetrator only fired one shot, according to reports, before Secret Service immediately got on top of it, which is great. That's what Secret Service is
there for. That should have been the big news right there, the Secret Service doing their job effectively.
Exactly. But again, can I mention once again, we talked about the sure shot of Secret Services. They only got his hand that had the weapon in it, and he went down immediately, and they were able to surround it. But still, I guess you're not trying to do a fatal shot, right? You want to get the guy.
I'd rather see a fatal shot. Otherwise, the guy goes to court, and the next thing you know, the judge is apologizing to the defendant.
I'm going to guess that's what I would be training the Secret Service members as, fatal shot, because this is a serious threat.
You heard about the guy that tried to shoot up the gala, the media gala.
Yes, yeah, a couple
the
weeks.
The judge actually apologized to him for the way he was being treated.
Oh, I did not hear that part. Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, seriously, all the evidence pointed towards him in the first place. And again,
well, the judge wasn't even denying that. They were putting him on a suicide watch. 24-hour watch, because the guy was writing some things that were very suicidal. He was writing a suicidal manifesto saying he didn't expect to be alive. So they put him on a suicide watch, and his lawyer said his rights are being violated, and the judge apologized to him.
So ridiculous. Like, again, when you cross that line, that's it. You cross that line. There's no way of getting back, honestly.
I think a lot of these judges are crossing the line.
Oh, of course, of course. But again, big shout-out to the Secret Service for getting through that situation that quickly, too. All this happened at like 3:30 in the afternoon. afternoon. I read it around 4 o'clock, and I was like, are you kidding me? Another one. And this time on a vice president, no less, too. This.
But again, it begs the question, how did he get so close on the grounds
exactly,
in the first place?
Exactly. I know. That's
they
the
do
big thing.
Really good in the moment, but why the guy's getting that far? It just staggers the imagination.
Now, have they had a Congress hearing of the current Secret Service administrator leader yet about that gala situation? Because if not
about, I don't think about that. I know they had some regarding what happened in Pennsylvania.
They better be doing this right now, especially with the White House situation. Like, they need to get this hearing
anybody
done.
Anybody could have just walked into that hotel, walked in. Yep. They couldn't get into the actual event itself, but they were able to get into the lobby. They could have gone into where everybody was having cocktails before the meeting. I mean, if this guy had come with several people, it would have been a whole different story.
And again, Congress is not doing anything about it. They're so focused on their own missions of like, oh, well, whatever Trump's doing, we got to go against it and make a bill against that whole situation instead of getting to what's going on with the Secret Service. So you guys got to it pretty quickly the last time that Trump was almost assassinated outside
of Pennsylvania. Well, the Democrats don't want to talk much about assassination attempts because they know that they're culpable with calling Trump Hitler every other day. So, of course, some psychopath wants to take out Hitler.
And that goes for the same for J.D. Vance, okay? When you call Trump Hitler, you're also calling J.D. Vance that name, too. And it's not as publicized, too. Keep that in mind, too.
Yeah. And the Democrats call everybody Hitler. They called George W. Bush Hitler for years, although now they love him because George W. Bush doesn't like Trump.
well, you know.
You want people to stop calling you Hitler? Just tell them you don't like Trump. That's all there is to it. Meanwhile, there's a guy with an actual Nazi sign as a tattoo running for senator in Maine. The Democrats love him. They give him a free pass.
Oh, and then there's a person protesting saying, I want everyone dead inside during the hotel gala situation. Like, come on, people. This is just ridiculous. Yeah. Anyways.
When they find real Nazis, they don't say a word.
No.
But anybody that opposes any of their policies, including which bathroom to use, they're a Nazi.
Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have the latest news, actually, this time around. Trump visited China over the week. So let's take a look and see what were the pros and the cons.
I can't talk about this without getting hungry for Chinese food because I love Chinese food.
All right. Well, we'll order some when we come back.
I hope they gave them more than McDonald's.
The sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is called Inside the Castle in the Glass, and already this entertaining sequel is getting great reviews from customers on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Very clever way of introducing certain life principles in a fictional setting. I thoroughly enjoyed the story. Here's another review. I picked up this book at a book signing with Bob Siegel on a Friday. By Monday morning before work, I finished it. This is over 500 pages of story. I couldn't put it down. I would plan to put it down at the end of the chapter, then something big would take place. I would have to continue to see what happened. A lot of unexpected twists and turns and a lot of things you can't imagine. Things that make you say, what? By the way, I am pushing 60 years old and I enjoyed this book and look forward to more of Bob's books. Keep them coming. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. At SDCC, you'll find a number of dynamic degree and certificate programs, including business, aviation, kinesiology, education, psychology, ministry, and more. Our curriculum blends academic excellence with a Christian worldview, ensuring you graduate ready to make a meaningful impact. Your journey starts here. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Begin your journey.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the final segment of tonight's Bob Siegel Show, joined by my producer, Brendan Thomas.
All right, so the big news for Trump, I thought this week, was his visit to China, personally. Now, again, did I think that anything would come about with these talks automatically? No, of course not.
I think just stability is the main thing he has in mind, and just kind of not rocking the boat. They do have a nuclear bomb, so yep. He's got to be a little more careful.
Yeah, that's for sure. So,
I mean, with Iran, he's trying to prevent them from getting a bomb, but China already has one, so it's a whole different story.
Yeah. Now, one of the small things I do want to say was the pageantry that he was getting as soon as he landed.
Compared to when Obama landed? Yeah. They didn't even have Obama come down the front of the plane. They gave him some back stairs.
Heck, I don't even think he got the red carpet treatment Trump did.
He did. Well, they respect Trump.
Do you think that's what it is?
I think they respect Trump because they know Trump stands up to them, and he has Xi's respect. Now, does that mean Xi likes him? Well,
I'd rather have them
respect him than like him.
I would agree on that.
They probably loved Obama because they could walk all over him, but they did not respect Obama.
Well, they loved him.
And Biden was just a sneeze to them.
It's true. Now, personally, I would love to agree with you that they would respect Trump. But in my opinion,
I'm not defining respect as they're going to honor the agreements.
No.
They respect him as a strong leader. They know they've got to be careful. They know that he'll take a stand. That's all I mean by respect. They can't be trusted any farther than you can throw.
It's true. Now, the way I was actually viewing it is, no offense when I say this to people, because I know I'm going to get a lot of angry calls. You can call me up at 1-888-ANGRY-CALL-PERSON over here. Trump's ego is pretty high up there. And I think that this was all about feeding Trump's ego at that time. That whole pageantry.
I think they were thinking the more they buttered him up, the more they could get their way with him. I'm sure some of it was
exactly.
That.
I would love to believe it was about respect, but I put it down.
I think it was both. So. I think it was a little bit of both.
Now, the big thing, obviously, I think that the biggest pro out of this whole thing is, like you said, I think it's the de-escalation of the trade tensions between the two countries. I think that de-escalated majorly.
They're hoping he'll bring some of those tariffs down.
Exactly. And I think, I'm not saying he is going to do it or he's going to decrease it by any huge amount by any means, but do I think this meeting helped de-escalate that situation? Absolutely.
Well, they also want a commitment that we won't protect Taiwan if they invade, which Trump would not commit to. But on the other hand, Trump's not committing that we would protect Taiwan either. He's really straddling the fence on that.
I know. And that's a very, very sticky situation between Taiwan and China, if you know the history.
It's such a confusing thing because technically China is China and Taiwan is also China. But
yeah.
Taiwan was started by the Republic of China. Mm-hmm. And then China was started by the People's Republic of China. It's a confusing mess.
Not to mention, people on both sides of the country are always arguing against that whole property.
Did you hear, by the way, since again, in your two, and I hope you're doing penance for your 2 weeks absence that caused all this news. Did you hear about the mayor in Arcadia who turned out to be a Chinese spy?
Yes, a Chinese spy. Yep. I was like, oh my gosh.
And yet Trump's not doing anything about having less Chinese students come into our country.
It's true. And the other big thing was the marketable agreements that we made with China. Specifically, I don't know if you heard this, we ordered 200 Boeing aircrafts.
Yes, but they've ordered those before and not ever gone through with it. We've been down this road before, so I'm not holding my breath.
Okay, because
they might. I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm just saying they said that last time too. I don't think it was for the same amount.
Right. But for this particular meeting, I was actually kind of trusting on this side of the agreement.
Maybe it would be nice, but they don't honor most of their agreements. So okay. You just never know.
So the biggest stuff. Okay, the biggest cons for me, obviously, the rare earth stalemate sucks. Honestly, we know that China has all that material that we could use, for that matter, and. Again, we're not getting anywhere near to help fix that whole issue. The other thing, too, again, like I said, is the fact that it seems like we're still trying to make sure that China doesn't help out the Middle East still, but it doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere with that whole situation, too. Because, again, for both sides, I don't trust them enough for that whole thing.
What China's interested in with the Middle East is getting oil. I don't think they have ambitions far beyond that.
No, but that's the whole point, is that we're trying to make sure that they can stop doing that. So that way it's less resources for the Middle East. But again, I really wish this meeting was going to be a lot more productive, but I knew that it wasn't in the end. Because again, like you said, I don't trust China as much as I could throw them too as well.
So. And when Trump was asked about his concerns about them buying up all this farmland, he didn't seem concerned about that either. Mm-hmm. Again, again, everybody on this show knows how much we like Trump, but I don't agree with him about everything. Either do you.
Right.
And I have problems with some of this.
So what's the next step in this whole situation, do you think, for China and U.S.
I think Trump just wants to keep them at bay right now the best as he can and focus on other things. I don't think much more went on in Trump's mind to the meeting than that.
I have to agree with you on that one, too. And if
with
anything,
all the pomp and ceremony, precious little was accomplished.
That's true.
Except he probably ate well.
Well, on the other side of things, too, hopefully our Chinese ambassador will get a lot more productive talks with China, too. And if not, at least I do think that the next time that they want to do a meeting, he's going to send J.D. Vance this time. And again, hopefully he has better productive talks than he did with, was it Russia he was meeting with? And it didn't go anywhere.
I heard he opened up a fortune cookie and he said any substantial agreements will go away 1 hour later.
I would believe that, too. Well, Bob, thank you again so much for having me.
Brendan, always a pleasure and welcome back.
Thank you so much. Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.